Let's enjoy today's message by Sam Adeyemi.
All right, please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. As we begin a series on marriage and love. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, New International Version. It says, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." I'll title our discussion today specifically, "Single or Married? Learn to Love." As we prepared to get married, my sweetheart and I decided to research the scriptures that had to do with marriage. I mean, we were combing from Genesis all through to Revelation, just checking out scriptures that had to do with marriage so we could meditate on them and learn from them. See, because the reality is, it is God's blessing really that matters. And it is when we do the word that God's blessings are activated in our lives. Anyway, I was reading Ephesians chapter 5, and I got to verse 25. And it says, "Husbands, love your wives, as Christ also loved the church." You know, my face just broke out in a smile. "Husbands, love your wife." I thought, I don't need this verse. I don't need this verse. Love? I was crazy. I mean, I was crazy about the babe. Oh! She was the last thought on my mind when I was going to sleep, and the first one on my mind when I was waking up. You know, I remember the day I got a card that read, "I thought about you a million, billion, trillion, quadrillion, quintillion times today." Yeah, that's it. She was there consistently. So I thought, love your wives. I'm crazy about her. I mean, I don't need an admonition on this. But then I asked, okay, how? And he says, "As Christ also loved the church." So I said, okay, wait. How did Christ love the church? It reads, "and sacrificed himself for her." I said, eh? The smile froze on my face. He died. I said, he died. Yeah, the Holy Spirit said, exactly. I said, oh my God, that was not what I was thinking about. I was thinking about us having some jolly good time together, you know, some exciting time together, dying. But I got the message clearly. I got the message clear. It didn't seem to be that rosy anymore, but the conditions for a happy marriage became clear to me. You know, some days back, I was sharing with an older minister, Archbishop George Amo, and he said, this year, it will be 55 years since my wife and I have been married. I said, wow. He said, I have a lot of things to teach young people, and I'm going to be doing a lot of training and mentoring for young people now. He said, when we got married, he mentioned the part of Lagos where he grew up, Mushi, okay? Presently not the most beautiful part of the city. And his wife came from the other part that we call Ikoyi, which is where the rich people live. He said, can you imagine? I married a rich girl. He said, should I be honest with you? He said, we used to quarrel about how we used toothpaste. We used to quarrel. I came from Mushi. I came from, you don't waste anything if you come from Mushi. So he said, I used to press the tube from the bottom of the tube. I press it, make sure that every single bit of the paste would come out through the top. He said, my wife would just pick the tube and press it from anywhere. So can you imagine? Rich girl, she'll just press the tube from anywhere. He said, we used to quarrel over it. He said, but later I found out that it was nothing. Okay? It was not worth quarreling over. Good. So, marriage has two imperfect people coming together to live their lives together. One major requirement that we see in Ephesians chapter 5 is love. Come to think of it, we remember what Jesus said. The greatest commandment is love the Lord your God. The second one, he said, which is on equal platform, is love your neighbor as yourself. When you get married, then your marriage partner becomes your closest neighbor. So the number one requirement in marriage, I mean, for a beautiful relationship in marriage, is love. And I have come to realize that we have capacity to love at various levels. This is very important. People want to get married, but not everyone has a high level of capacity for loving. Yet, marriage will task your capacity to love. The ideal scenario is for two people with high capacity for love to marry. When you have a scenario like that, you have a marriage that gives a lot of joy, a lot of happiness, okay? There's a lot of validating, a lot of affection, a lot of sacrificing on the behalf of the other person. But the level of joy, the level of fulfillment is high. But it's not all the time that you have such a combination. Sometimes there's a mismatch between couples. One person has a high capacity for love, and the other person has a low capacity for love. It can be challenging. So the person with a high capacity for love is able to give. But then the person with a low capacity for love will be making a lot of withdrawals on the other person's capacity. And somewhere along the line, in some instances, somebody just gets tired of the whole arrangement. In some relationships, both parties have an average capacity for loving. Okay? There's the average. So they're able to manage things as they go along. And then in some marriage relationships, you have two people with low capacity for love marrying, coming together. So the problems start very early. They show very quickly. Because as soon as you get married, you have to confront the reality. There's a whole lot more to the person you married than what you were seeing before you got married. There's a whole lot more to the person, a lot. So you get into what we call the revelation phase, okay? The revelation, for some, the revelations come slowly. For some, the revelations come quickly. And it's amazing how, with the coming of the revelations, the things that attracted you to the other person begin to fade, okay, into insignificance as you deal with reality. But that is when our capacity for loving other people is now challenged. And we need, at that point in time, to be able to love. So we need to check our capacity for love. Is it low? Is it average? Is it high? I believe that the Christian has the opportunity to be a high capacity loving person. That's the standard set by Scripture. And the opportunity to do it, the resources for doing it, those resources are there. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 8 in the Message Bible. Let's all together check our capacity for loving. Let's check our capacity for loving. People assume that just because they met someone in church, the person has a high capacity for loving. Just simply because, you know, they love the way the person sings, for example, or they love the way the person smiles in church. Isn't that amazing? Knowing that when we come to church, all of us look our best. Has it occurred to you that when I wake up in the morning, I don't look like this? But people don't think like that. I don't go to bed in suit and tie with pocket kerchief, you know. No. I look like a normal human being. In fact, it depends on what your pillow looks like. When some people wake up in the morning, they have the map of Africa on their cheek. Okay. I mean, those lines and creases created by your pillow, okay? People don't factor that in. We look our best in church. So people assume that because they met someone in church, the person is loving. Oh, no. So let's go through this thing together. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 8 in the Message Bible. It says, if I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. Woo! If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor, and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Wow. Look closely at this. Doesn't it look like this thing was written for preachers? If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love. Oh, people don't imagine that. What kind of a combination is that? If somebody speaks with human eloquence, you know, preaches powerfully, you know, and with angelic ecstasy, shouldn't the person be a loving person? Wow, this is amazing. A pastor said that in the early years of his marriage, one day his wife met him and said, you know what? I want us to go live on the pulpit. He said he was shocked. He said, what are you suggesting? Go live on the pulpit? She said, yes. Let us go and live on the pulpit. I like the you that I see on the pulpit. She said, on the pulpit, you're like an angel. You're so loving, you're so caring, you're so funny, you know, you're so humorous. I like the guy that I see on the pulpit. Let's go live on the pulpit. Because when you come to this house, you're a full-blooded human being in this house. Some people have asked my sweetheart before, you guys must laugh a lot at home, right? Because the way Pastor Sam speaks on the pulpit, he's so funny, he's so humorous, you know. You know, is that how he behaves at home? She said she almost opened her mouth. She was shocked. What are you talking about? Who are you talking about? Sorry, it's not like that. The guy that you see on the pulpit, the guy is under the influence of the Holy Spirit. So she told him, he's not an extrovert. You think he's not like that. It's when he's on the pulpit that is like that. When he comes back to the house, he says that if they have measured the quota of how many words somebody should speak in a day, he has exhausted the quota on the pulpit, so he doesn't feel like talking to anybody. Okay? Good. So, on this pulpit, I'm the best husband in the world. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So, okay, even if this was not written for preachers, obviously this was written to charismatic Christians. Because we get carried away by the charisma. It makes us charming. Makes us charming. Some people have been shocked after being married. You know? And then it will be like, but you used to be sweet. Okay? But you used to be kind. You used to be nice. But in church, you were so spiritual. Thank you, Jesus. How do you measure spirituality? That's what we're driving at. So let me take it from here. I think this is verse 4. Let's check our capacity for love. Love never gives up. Do you give up sometimes on people? Do you get tired bearing with people's weaknesses? It says, love cares more for others than for self. Where do you rank here? Low, average, or high? Love doesn't strut. You know, doesn't carry itself with a chip on its shoulder. You know, like you're more special than other people are. Love doesn't have a swelled head. In other words, if you're in the business of comparing yourself with other people, okay, I'm better than her here, I'm better than him here, I'm better than that them here, so you're out. Okay, your capacity for love is low. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. That's envy. Do you feel happy, excited for other people when good things happen to them? Or very honestly, look, let's be honest here. Do you feel a tinge, you know, a tinge of envy? It's human, okay? A tinge, okay, low, average, or high. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle. How easily do you get angry? Doesn't keep score of the sins of others. When was the last time you reminded someone something they did last month or 2 months ago or 6 months ago or last year? Okay? Love doesn't revel when others grovel. Are you happy sometimes when something bad happens to some people, especially if they are bad people? Low, medium, or high. Let's keep going. Love takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything. Puts up with anything. Trust God always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Inspired speech will be over someday. The preaching will be over. Praying in tongues will end. Understanding will reach its limit. Wow. Everything else will come to an end, but love will always be the basis for our relationships with God and with other human beings. You know what? It appears to me like the capacity for loving is being eroded in our world today. Why? Because I see us having less and less capacity for bearing with other people's weaknesses. And at the same time, I see an increase in our capacity for selfishness. Let me pick it from scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. People will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. Take note, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal. Take note of that. Not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. Wow. Satan is out to damage our capacity for loving other people right from childhood. Unfortunately, every human being that is born into our world is born with the nature of sin. The nature of sin is not the nature of love. The nature of sin is the nature of hatred. It's the nature of lying. It's the nature of taking advantage of somebody else. It's the nature of self-centeredness and selfishness. All right? So, through our relationships with the imperfect people around us, our relationships with imperfect parents, imperfect siblings, imperfect uncles and aunties, we practically end up being damaged goods, imperfect friends. So the challenge is, therefore, that when people go into marriage, you have people who've been through a lot of things. People that have a lot of baggage from their past. All kinds of experiences. Some of us have been abused. Abused sexually. Okay? Abused emotionally. Abused verbally. Abused physically. Okay? Some of us have been hurt. Trust has been broken. Over and over again. And if we do not come to the place of healing, we bring those hurts and those wounds into our relationships. Our capacity for loving other people comes very low. And you know what? Sometimes we've become so effective in masking those issues in there. They don't show on our face, but we bring them into this closest of relationships in our natural world, into marriage. But today I declare that for us there's good news. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. There's the hope of healing and restoration. Romans 5, 5 says, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. There is healing from all of the abuses, from all of the hurts, from all of the pains. When Jesus went to the cross, the Bible says that he was wounded for our transgressions. You read Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment for our peace was put on him. And by his stripes or by his wounds, we are healed. Hallelujah. So the power that raised Christ from death, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power that restored the body of Jesus, which had been dead, and it was now the third day, completely emptied of fluid, the power that raised that body up is able to raise us up, heal us, restore us, raise us up spirit, soul, and body. I prophesy in the name of Jesus Christ, today marks the end of hurting. Today marks the end of pain. Today marks the end of painful memories. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We need to be healed. We need to be healed. It is people that have been healed. Healed from past hurts. They are the ones that have the capacity to love. Somebody says, but how do I deny my past? I can't deny my past. How do I forget? You may not forget, but he doesn't have to hurt you anymore to the extent that it's now affecting your relationship with the person you are married to or the person you are going to be married to or with anybody for that matter. You can have the scar, but you don't have to feel the pain. You can have the scar, but you don't have to feel the pain. You can remember without feeling bitter. You can remember without hatred welling up in you. You can remember without anger welling up on the inside. In fact, you can remember with a smile. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 4 says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us in all our trials. And he comforts us in such a way that we are able to comfort others with the comfort that we have received from God. Thank you, Lord. You see what happens when you've received healing from God? God now uses you to help or to bring healing to people that are going through the same experience. You can talk about it and let God use your story to bless other people's lives. I love the amazing story of Joyce Meyer. Most of us know the amazing evangelist, global evangelist and teacher, Joyce Meyer. And she describes how she was practically damaged goods in terms of her emotions. She got married to somebody and the person abused her and eventually abandoned her. And then the next time, the next man that will marry her, who is still her husband after many decades, Dave Meyer, he had been praying and his prayer point in terms of his marriage was, Lord, please bring me someone that needs help. It's one of the most amazing prayer points I ever had anybody pray about their marital destinies. Lord, bring me someone that needs help. And they got married. And Joyce says she came with all her issues, but this man was there, stable, calm, and was there loving on her. And eventually, God's love seeped into her spirit. And see her today, God is using her to heal people all over the world. What am I saying? God will bring a ministry out of your misery. You may have had broken relationships, if even have been a broken marriage, but I'm prophesying here today in the name of Jesus, your day of healing has arrived. If there's any home going through trouble right now, somebody has exhausted their store, their capacity for love. And now all you have in the family is bitterness, it's quarreling, it's anger. I prophesy by the power of the Holy Spirit. I prophesy by the power of the Holy Spirit. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. I prophesy the outpouring of God's love into your soul, outpouring of God's love into your spirit today in the name of Jesus Christ. And I prophesy healing for you in the name of Jesus. By the blood of the covenant, I terminate all demonic interferences in relationships in the name of Jesus Christ. See, whether you are single or married, you need capacity for loving. And I'm telling you, when you're single, then you need it. If you have a high capacity for loving and nobody's married you yet, it's their loss. Thank you, Jesus. It's the loss. Somebody is missing something. But I prophesy now in the name of Jesus Christ. No one will take advantage of you. No one will abuse you emotionally. I prophesy that by revelation, the person you should be married to will know now in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father. I pray for the person who says, Pastor, my relationship with God is not okay. We can't even talk about my capacity for loving right now because my relationship with God is not okay. Every human being was born with the sin nature, but someday you get to know the truth like this. And God expects you to respond to it. Pastor, please pray with me that God should forgive me my sins. Can you please put your hand on your heart where you are? I want to say a short prayer with you right now. Can you please put your hand on your heart? You may have said this prayer before. The important thing is this. If you die today, God forbid you appear before God, you are not absolutely certain you will make it into heaven and you want to receive forgiveness of sins. Can you please put your hand on your heart? And please say this prayer after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for everyone that said this prayer. Thank you because the Bible says there's joy in heaven among the angels over everyone that says this prayer, everyone that repents. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you teach them to know you personally. Teach them to love you the rest of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.